Well, I've got two titles for two messages today. This morning at King's Lynn, I'm going to talk about Powerhouse. This afternoon at Sutton Bridge, I'm going to talk about the jailhouse. You know what? God wants them both to rock. Half the younger generation don't know who Elvis was. Yeah. I want to read to you a verse from Acts chapter 4, verse 31. There's a PowerPoint, it'll be coming up. The first screen will be coming up in a moment. Before I read that, can I just ask you a question today that I really believe is on the heart of God? And the more I'm traveling, the more I'm going different places around the world, I just want to tell you, I believe that what Rick said this morning, we need to hear. If you weren't in the first service, and Rick was telling us about the healings that's increasing and the work that God's doing on the streets, I want to tell you, we need to be careful we don't miss God's opportunity. I do believe we're living in the last days. Everywhere you talk to people who aren't Christian, and even some Christians, but I don't know why, people start to be held by fear of terrorist attack. Can I tell you that a long time ago, Paul did say to us, in the last days, things will get worse and worse. Yeah? So why are you not listening to that? Why are you not understanding that? Because we need to understand it's going to get worse and worse. And I don't want to go off on a tangent this morning, but I want to tell you that this week, what we heard from the Episcopal Church in Scotland, what we are hearing from our news about Islamic extremism, what we're hearing in our politics about that people think that this will work and it won't work and think of this. I want to tell you, friends, the only answer in these last days is the answer that's been here for 2,000 years. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah? You know, I was with some young guys on Thursday night at a barbecue, and they asked me right off the cuff just to say something. And you know what I said? I said, listen, I want to tell you, young fellas, that God can teach you how to be. They were married with families, some of them quite successful. And I said, I want to tell you this, that you'll never hear in the world. I want to tell you this, Jesus Christ can make you the best husband and father. Jesus Christ can help you to bring up your children. Jesus Christ can help you to be a positive member of society. Jesus Christ can change anything that goes wrong in our lives and make it right. Because we need to say that Islam has not got the strong message for men, but Jesus has got the strong message for men. And that we need to start to understand that the message that we preach has power. And that's why the church needs to realize that. I want to tell you, friends, we've got to shake off our Western European Christian passivity. There weren't many hallelujahs then, was there? Did you notice that? The absence of hallelujah. So I'm going to give you another chance. The Western church must shake off its passive attitude. I was going to put some videos on this morning of places I've been to just to kind of explain that a little bit more, because sometimes to watch something, but there isn't time. Time's gone very quick, but maybe another time. But let me just tell you, friends, when in Brazil, when they say we're going to pray for our community to be saved, right? Everybody in the Amazon that I've ever been to stands to their feet. And the pastor has to bang the bell on the lectern to stop them praying, because their passion is that their community will be saved. And the volume and the din, amen, and the speaking in tongues and the crying out to God and the tears is there because they want to see people saved. I want to tell you, friends, when I've been to Pakistan and Daryl's been as well, that when Pastor Hashmat, I watched them on their Easter services on Facebook and other places, when they stand together and say, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come, you can't hear Hashmat. And he's got a microphone. Because the people are crying out to God, because when you live in an Islamic nation where persecution and death, torture and acid in your face are everyday occurrences, you need the Holy Spirit. And we've got to understand that if we're going to get back to what Scripture tells us, we need more and more people who are going to be radical. Radical in their witness to this world. Now, powerhouse. Let me ask the question. See what the answer is. Do you want this church to become a powerhouse? Well, then you're going to enjoy my simple points this morning. And something to take home with you that you can say next week, here's one I did earlier. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, they turned to one another and said, wasn't that a nice meeting? I hope the beef's okay. Oh, are you having beef? Oh, we're going out for Chinese. No, it doesn't say that. What version's that? Oh. And when they had prayed, at least 25% of them. Oh, no, it doesn't say that either. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all, say with me, all. Again, all. One more time, please. All filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. You know, the enemy of boldness is to be passive and full of fear. But boldness. Boldness is what marked them here. Now, I haven't time to tell you all that happened here, but if you go back into Acts chapter 3, what you find is Peter and John were going to prayer meeting, and they walked past the man who'd been there 40 years, been sick 40 years, and they prayed for him, and God healed him, and he went with them in the temple, and then the religious people saw that this miracle had happened, and all the crowd was cheering and shouting, and there was a great, wonderful hullabaloo going on there, and basically, the religious people said, we better stop this. And so they took Peter and John, arrested them, and gave them some very clear warnings, which I'll come to in a moment. And then they were released and went for an Indian. No, they went to their own company. Went to their own company to pray. Excuse me. So if we want to be a powerhouse, next one please, Andy. That's good. Let me run through some of these things quickly with you. The key to a powerhouse, although we're blessed by music, is not musicianship. It's not just preaching. Right? It's not being a trendy church, although I'm not against technology or anything. The key to a powerhouse is this. They, in chapter 4, verse 13, were recognized by the religious people of the day. Read it there if you want to know. I'll give you the Greek word in a minute. We recognized, it said, that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And by the word, the way in the Greek, the word in the Greek there for ignorant is idiotes, from which we get our word. We recognize that these men were unlearned. Fishermen, idiots. No, nothing, you know, nothing, nothing. But it says this, we marked them that they had been with Jesus. Now you see, you can look at that in some commentators and they'll say about Jesus training them and bringing them from the start and calling them and whatever. And that's true. But I want to tell you, the root of that word does not only mean and can mean something else. It can mean this. They marked them that they had been in union with Jesus. Now that word is a very important word because we use it in relation to sexual relations. When two people become one, they are union. Yeah? And so it means that Peter and John, when they were going up to pray, they'd already been in the closet. Already been in the closet. And when you're in union with Jesus, He gives you revelation. Did you know that? He gives you revelation. You know what? When I come on a morning or when others come and say, I've had a word. You know, very often it didn't happen there and then. It happened in the closet beforehand. Happened when they were in a personal time of prayer with the Lord. They have been with Jesus. They had been in union with Jesus. They began to realize that the Christ who had now been taken from them, risen, ascended, glorified, was now in them by the Holy Spirit. And that they could commune and have intimacy into me see. They could have intimacy with Jesus. If I had the boldness today, I would say to you, how many of you have got a prayer closet? Because the key to a powerhouse is not a great service with music or whatever. The key to a powerhouse is that every person in the powerhouse has got a prayer closet. And that you've been in union with Jesus. Then we wouldn't come in with half the church seemingly feeling cold, seemingly feeling they've got nothing to give, coming with all their selfie problems. No, I want to tell you, when you've been in the closet with Jesus, in union with Him, into me see, Jesus, give me revelation of what I'm supposed to be saved for. When you come together, it's a powerhouse. Still want to be a powerhouse? Oh, not as loud now, are you? Friends, when are we going to get this again in the UK? When are we going to get this? And let me tell you, this goes before corporate prayer. I love corporate prayer. Whenever I'm praying, I prayer meetings every week. But I want to tell you, this goes before corporate prayer. Coming to pray with others cannot be a substitute from your prayer closet. Cannot be. And the key to a powerhouse is this, that if you're living in a nation where that day you might be attacked because of your faith, then you'd better hear what Jesus is saying. I couldn't believe Pastor Hashmat when we got into his little van. And he said, before we went out of his little compound, let's pray right now. Okay. So I wonder what we're praying at this exact moment for. So I said, what are you praying for? He said, I need to know whether to go left or right because they dig channels across the road so they can attack us. Some friends today, I know, who have to pray before, in the country I'm involved, who have to pray before they go to somebody's house to do a DBS. Which way should we go? See, you're not having to have that, are you? You just get on a bus or jump in a car or whatever. But I want to tell you, friends, I think sometimes terrorism, right? Be careful. God uses sticks to beat His church into being awake. Oh, no. No, surely He doesn't. I want to tell you, there's plenty of things in the Old Testament show me that God had ways of trying to get Israel to wake up. So that's all I can say on that point. Have you got a prayer closet? We'll come back to it later. Secondly, when you have a prayer closet, you know you've got His presence within you. Is that right? Now, where am I basing that on? Chapter 3. I might have put the wrong verse there. Let me just look. Yes, I have. No, I haven't. Chapter 3, verse 6. Peter walks up to the man lame. Silver and gold I do not have. I do not have. But what belongs to me, I give to you. You see, friends, it's only when you're in the prayer closet you begin to understand what your relationship with Jesus gives to you. And Peter got revelation. Such as I have, what belongs to me, I give to you. When we see things in life where people know their position of authority and they begin to take it, it changes them. Yeah? So the first time, Brother Sam, the first time you had to walk into a ward and perform things, were there nerves? Yeah? There were nerves, but you trained. You'd done it every day. So you knew what to do, but you just never perhaps done it on a proper ward in that way, by yourself, under your own steam, as it were. But then you go and you deal with the first 20 people, and then you begin to live who you are. Amen? We do that in our jobs, don't we? There are some jobs you wouldn't want me to do for you. You wouldn't want me to do brain surgery on you. I'd have to have one. No. Listen, when you know who you are in Christ, knowing who you are in Christ will not come from listening to Joyce Meyer. Excuse me. Will not come from listening to Joyce Meyer. And I'm not against anybody. Come on, how many listen to Joyce Meyer? God bless, it's good. All right, she's got some good stuff to say. Men and women. There's a thing, eh? But Joyce Meyer cannot develop your relationship with God. Somebody tells me, right, how wonderful Mary was when she was 18 and she was a cracker. But if all my cousin did was say, she's lovely. Wow, you want to see her? I saw her last week. She's fantastic. Here, little, I've written this thing about her. Would that have satisfied me? No, because I want to get to know her. I want her to be my wife. Yeah? And friends, can I say to you this morning, with all my heart, you're not going to learn this from anybody. You can't get it secondhand. Your relationship with Jesus, your call on your life, what you're supposed to do, no matter whether you're 16 or 65 or whatever, it comes out of your personal relationship with Jesus. It's not just a personal salvation we get. It's a personal, daily, intimate walk with Him that starts in the closet. Starts in your closet. I don't know where your closet is. I know some people like to have a little room in a place. I've done that and I still have that. I also like to, when I'm walking, I can talk to God when I'm walking and have a closet. I just go, if I go up the fields and pray in the Spirit or whatever. Sometimes I'm driving in the car. Some of the most intimate times with Jesus I can be on the back roads coming to King's Lynn, and I've had to pull over in Castleacre because I just feel such the presence of God, and God's saying, stop now and pray for this. If what I'm saying to you this morning, you're thinking, well, I'll tell you why it's not happening for you, because you haven't got a prayer closet. Hello? I'm sorry, you know, you've got to have me back as well. Presence within, such as I have. Third thing, if you want to be a powerhouse, turn to somebody and say, persecution is part of the deal. I I would have just loved it then if somebody had stood up and shouted it really loud. Persecution is part of the deal. You see, persecution's part of the deal. And let me tell you what's got to change to be a powerhouse. Please listen carefully. It's connected to the name of Jesus coming out of your mouth. Not God, not church, not Godianity, not things related. It's the name of Jesus comes out of your mouth. The moment you start in your weekly, daily life to tell other people about Jesus, not about our church and how good the kids' work is, and it is, not about our church and how wonderful this little lady who sings with such a wonderful loud voice, you know, it's all true stuff, but that won't save them. That won't begin to cause spiritual change in the atmosphere, but what changes them is the name of Jesus. Listen, let me tell you something. Verse 10 of chapter 4, read it with me quickly. Let it be known to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you. Okay, verse 17. But so that this name, so that it spreads no further among the people, this is the religious, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. You get it? Something happens when the name of Jesus comes off your lips. Verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. So what was their response? In verse 30. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that your servant Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, friends, the devil doesn't mind us talking about church, doesn't mind us talking about Christianity, but something happens in the spirit when we start to talk about the name of Jesus. Has anybody felt that kind of sense that comes on us when we know somebody at work, some colleague, some neighbor wants to know more? We know the step we have to get over is to speak the name of Jesus. That's why many of us will talk about church and what good works we're doing and how we're playing with this and doing with that and whatever. But I want to tell you, there's no changing value in that. There's no saving value in that. There's only one name under heaven whereby men can be saved. It is the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. And we've got to get, if we want to be a powerhouse, Jesus has got to be in our lips 7 days a week. And not just in the closet. We've got to bring him out from the closet, into the workplace, into the neighborhood, into the streets. Rick, amen? Persecution. Jesus said in John 15, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Matthew 5, blessed are men, or blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Romans 12, 14, many others I could read to you. John 15, 25 and verse 26, the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. You want more of the Holy Spirit in your life, through your life? Speak more about Jesus. Devil's not bothered if you don't mention that name. The moment you mention that name. See, Paul had gone to Philippi. And as they walked around, they went to a prayer meeting. And God opens the heart of a woman called Lydia. And they lead her to the Lord. And she finds Jesus. And her life is transformed. Yeah? And then they start to speak the name of Jesus wherever they're going. Right, and then what happens is there's a clash of kingdoms begins to happen when you speak the name of Jesus. right? So they'd obviously gone around Philippi speaking the name of Jesus, because the young damsel, the young girl with the demon, was actually following them saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, and they will show you the way of salvation. Anybody else today put that on TV and use it in an advert? But it was a clash of kingdoms. Because Satan, by the way, the name there over that city that they worshipped was a snake god, and the word in the Greek is python that was in that girl. See, whatever you live in, it'll start to enter you if you don't know Christ. The spirit of Python was coming out of her. And as Paul began to speak about Jesus, the spirit of Python didn't like it. So he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. Hallelujah. She was set free. Set free, and they all went to a wonderful celebration. No, they all got beat up and put in prison. Because persecution is part of the deal. Ask yourself, how many times do you use that name in a week beyond your own personal need and relationship? So they proclaimed the gospel as the priority. When you think about our church, friends, can I ask you a question? Same at Swaffham, same at Radicals, wherever else I go. When you think about this church, do you think about our priority as the salvation of men? Or do you think about it, the nice little groups you go to, the things you enjoy, the people that you know? Because somewhere there's got to be a change. Can you remember Stig on that car program? Yeah? And everybody else used to try and beat his target, yeah? And then they used to move it up or down. You remember that? Yeah? I tell you, in the church, Jesus is too far down. When it comes to rejigging, we need to put Jesus and the proclamation of his name at the top. That's what we live for. That's what we spend our money on. That's what we give our tithes and offerings for. That's what we want to see, because we want to see workmates and colleagues and families and neighbors and people saved. That's the bottom line, friends. The bottom line is salvation. We can spend an awful lot of time learning about our ministry in the church and never see one person saved. There's something wrong. But it's the evangelist. Rubbish. All of you go into the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. None of us can say, I abdicate from that. That's somebody else's ministry. Deception. And to be a powerhouse is to actually put the proclamation of the gospel at the top. Yeah? Not just in the pulpit here, but in our lives daily. Why didn't they have a gospel service in the Acts of the Apostles? Do you know why? Because every time they met people that the congregation had led to Jesus, they brought to the gathering. Already saved, probably already baptized in water, and more than likely filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Have we got so far away from this? Why? We want a powerhouse. You said so at the beginning, didn't you? You want a powerhouse? I want a powerhouse. Personal prayer closet, presence within, persecution, part of the deal, proclamation of the gospel. It's absolutely the priority of the church. And then it says, when they were released from these religious people who wanted to stop them, it says they went to their own company. You see, friends, I want to tell you, the more fired up from God, of God you get, you want to find your prayer partners. You want to find your prayer partners. You want to find those who can agree with you in what the priority of being a Christian is. And it's not a pity party. And I'm not being unsympathetic or discompassionate here. I'm just telling you, somewhere along the line, our purpose has got to come back, that we pray together in agreement that we want God to do more. Persecution or not, we want God to do more. Why are you weak this week? Because 7 prayerless days makes you weak. Get praying, get Christ within. Then when you come together, What we're going to pray about? Well, prayer partners is so important because when people pray together, they pray with purpose. Now, I ain't got time. Time's gone already, look. But listen, they prayed with prophetic purpose. Verse 25. Prophetic purpose. This is what David said would happen. David prophesied about what they would go through. So they said, hey, we must be in the will of God because we've got some prophecies that's going to be fulfilled through us. Is there anybody in this church that still believes we're going to be a healing well? That we're going to see people saved? That we're going to have people come from around the country because prayer is going to be so vibrant and powerful here? Those are prophetic promises. It started when God gave us this building. When Peter Butt came and said, God's going to give you a building. Don't forget those things. Don't forget sealed bids and the children and the youth putting their little offering in that took it over 250,000. And when the council ran with it, they said, why on earth did you put that extra money on the end? Everybody else put 250,000, but you put 250,000, 153 quid, 24 pence. One of them blasphemed. He said to me, where do you get that figure from? I said, God! God give us that figure. So we're on a journey prophetically. We're on a journey that says this thing's over us that's yet to be fulfilled, friends. And if we want to be a powerhouse, you want to get with your prayer partners that keep reminding you of what God has said to us. Yeah. Well, I'll just give you this as well. You see, when you've got good prayer partners, you understand that the power of God is supreme. Above everything else. Amen. God is supreme. See, the word there in our Bible is the word kurios. But actually, in the actual Greek language, it's not just kurios. It's the word despotes, from which we get our word despot. Total ruler. So when these people came to pray, they didn't say, oh, Lord. I remember talking years ago with Roger Forster, when they were praying in London Borough Council for a building not to be took away from them. And they were praying, you know, and the council were getting really nasty about it. And he went to a prayer meeting and he got those people that say, Lord, come and get out of the council. Change these godless men. And then next prayer was, but Lord, we love them as well. We really would like you to save them. To which Roger Forster said, but could you deal with them first, Lord, and then save them? Because you've got to be in one purpose about this, friends. When we're praying for this town to be touched, we've all got to pray for people to be saved. It's got to be on your agenda every week, every day. Lord, save people in King's Lynn. See, this is what they are, an understanding of the supremeness of God, that no matter what kings and others threw at them, that Jesus was Lord. And he was going to bring victory, and his church was going to be built, and his glory was going to be seen. So when they prayed with that view of God in their mind, they weren't paralyzed by fear. They said, Lord, listen to their threats. Now, Lord, stretch forth your hand. Glorify your servant, Jesus. I want to tell you, friends, I'm getting a little bit anxious sometimes. I want to tell you, if you're one of them this morning, please speak to me lovingly afterwards and I'll try and do the same to you. But when we're in the flow of the Spirit in a prayer meeting, don't dare pray for your dog. Don't start praying for the poultry. Can you not hear where the Spirit wants to take the meeting and where we want to go in one purpose? Don't be such a silly person to start praying about something completely the opposite to what the Spirit wants. All it shows is you're not listening to the Spirit. So actually everybody sat there lovingly saying, they haven't got a clue. We know it, but we just don't say it because we're loving Christians. But somebody's got to say, why not me? I'm tired of being in meetings where people want to pray. Let's get down to pray. You know, I tell you, once you start to intercede, it becomes like a spiritual engine inside you. Those of you who know that, you can't pray for 2 minutes and then go on to Mrs. Bloggs. You want to keep praying about what the Spirit is energizing. This is what happened here. Oh God, we want this gospel to go out. We want people to be saved. We're prepared for the persecution. We just need the power. We just need the name of Jesus to come. And so are we surprised? Hallelujah. They were all filled with power. The place where they were was shaken. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Last slide. Just leave it up there, please. Andy, will you join in? Will you set up your prayer closet and get closer to Jesus? Will you speak about Jesus to 3, 6? I don't know, I'll put 6 there. I'm in faith. 6 people this week about Jesus. Not about KLCF, not about church, about Jesus. Will you settle it in your mind? Not everyone will like what I'm going to say, but that's okay because I know that Jesus said this would happen. We might be rejected. We might not be spoken of. It might be in my office that they laugh at me, snigger at me. Doesn't matter because I belong to Jesus. When I was with Hashmat once, on a Saturday morning, he said, I've got to leave you for a while. I said, okay, no problem. So, problem? He said, yeah, some of the lads went out to a Hindu festival and started to preach about Jesus. And they got beat up and put in prison. And they haven't given them any food since yesterday, so I'm taking them some food. I'm going to plead with the prison guy to let them go. Rick, you been beat up yet? But you know what, Rick? These guys were out again the next Saturday. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Must urgency, must priority, must passion in your life. Must be preached. And then the end will come. Well, I've got some other things to say, but I've probably said enough. And that's what I wanted to end with this morning. Settle in your mind. Seek for that breakthrough in salvation and healing that gives you the opportunity to share and share Jesus by your works and by your life. Stick at it. Don't change halfway. Don't say, oh, it's not working. You've got to stick at it because we're all one with the same purpose. The gospel can't become any less. It can't become secondary. It can't. That is the priority, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for that, I need to be Spirit-filled. And then when we come together, the house will rock. Hey, listen, I've got 1 minute, and so have you. Let's do something this morning. Let's stand and cry out to God for souls. Yeah. Just cry out for souls. Cry out for work colleagues. Cry out for neighbors. Cry out. Don't stay quiet. Don't whisper it. Don't mumble it under your breath. Let's cry out, God, this is our priority, Lord. We want to see the harvest. We want souls to be saved. We want people to be healed and know the power of the name of Jesus. Lord, we want people in our workplaces to be absolutely hit by the power of God. We want people to be saved. We want demons to come out. We want, oh God, your kingdom to advance. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Oh God, will you help us? Will you help us to set up our prayer closet? Will you help us to speak about Jesus? Come on, say Jesus. Say Jesus 6 times this morning. Jesus Christ. Jesus, Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, we love you. Jesus is the Savior. Hallelujah. It's all in Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we've settled it. We're not bothered what others think. We want a breakthrough. We want salvation. We're not going to change from this purpose. We're going to listen to the Spirit and not pray non-entities. We're going to pray about what matters. Yes, we're still compassionate, but we want to pray in the flow of the Spirit. They all lifted up their voice with one accord. Oh God, let us be a church that lifts up our voice with one accord, save Lord, save King's Lynn, save King's Lynn, save this region, save our nation, save the mess we're in, Lord. We need you to come, Jesus. Oh God, we pray. Jesus, we pray. Jesus. Jesus, we pray. Come, O God. Come, O God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, 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 name above every name, oh, only name that can save, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, oh God, oh God. Oh God, forgive us that we thought other things can make a powerhouse. Lord, it's not about those things, it's about you. It's about Jesus. Oh God, soften our hearts again. Draw us into that closet, Lord. Let your mind and heart and spirit fill us daily. Oh God, we pray. Lord, I love to worship you, but I've got all eternity to worship you. I've only got now to witness. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us today. We truly want to be a powerhouse. Help us, we cry. In Jesus' name. Amen.